He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearing this morning. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you once again, thankful for the reading of your faithful, infallible, and inerrant word. Thank you for this account of this wee man named Zacchaeus that many of us learned of long ago in our Sunday school classes. Help us to learn the truths that are displayed here for us of your ministry and mission as you came to this world. And help us to see the importance of carrying on that faithful ministry and mission in our day until you come again for us. Please, Holy Spirit of God, we call upon you to anoint us from on high as a preacher and as a people, to preach and to listen and to respond, Lord, to your word today. All is vain unless you come down, Spirit of God. We ask that you do, and we ask that we would have willing hearts to hear you today. Minister to our boys and girls downstairs as well this morning. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that you've brought here to this place for this time. As Jesus, you pass by here in Pleasanton, Kansas, through the preaching of your word, even as you passed through Jericho so many years ago. In your name we pray. Amen.
You know it.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The final verse of our text this morning declares exactly what happens as Jesus entered and passed through the city of Jericho. Jesus was seeking the wee man, Zacchaeus, and Jesus saved him. And this was the very heart of Jesus' ministry, seeking and saving the lost. Luke again places side by side here in Luke 18 and then Luke 19, the beginning, two characters. In this case, both of them are saved as the Savior passes by. Both of them are from the city of Jericho, an ancient city, the original one that had long ago been cursed. But Jesus has come to Jericho. Jesus has come to Jericho to remove the curse of sin and darkness. He has come here not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. And so at the end of chapter 18, a blind man's faith makes him well. He was blind, but Jesus miraculously healed him and took the blindness from his eyes. And the first person he saw was Jesus. And then the scripture says he called him Lord. He confessed him as Lord. And he followed him. And he gave glory to him. And the other people did as well. A blind man, gloriously saved. And then chapter 19 opens with another man. He is not blind, but he cannot see Jesus either, can he? Because of the crowd, because he's a short little guy. But he goes to a place where he can see him passing by, and he's in the right place at the right time for a divine appointment with the true and living God, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who's passing through that city that day. And this fellow is a tax collector. And he is going to see the work of God in his life as well as Jesus passes by. And this tax collector in Jericho, like most all tax collectors of the day, was seen as a sinner. A sinner. And was grouped with the worst of sinners. Often, tax collectors and prostitutes and other notorious sinners were grouped together as the worst of society. And the Bible tells us of another sinner who also was delivered from the cursed city of Jericho. And she would have been in the same class as Zacchaeus. She too believed in the one true God of Israel. And God saved her and her household from the destruction of this same cursed city many, many years before. There in Jericho before the walls came down. And what was her name? Do you remember? Rahab. The harlot, the prostitute. So in the Old Testament, when we first read of the city of Jericho, we see a prostitute, a harlot, who believes in the one true God. And she's rescued, she's delivered, she's saved from destruction because she trusts in the living God. And Rahab then is included as a child of Abraham. And Rahab is included in Matthew chapter 1 in the lineage of our Savior. Because she, Rahab, the prostitute that was delivered from sin, was the mother of Boaz, the great-grandfather of King David. And salvation comes to the houses of the vilest offenders who truly believe. Vilest offenders like prostitutes such as Rahab and tax collectors like Zacchaeus from cursed cities like Jericho. Vilest offenders like you and like me as well, who maybe don't have the same open, blatant sins as Zacchaeus and Rahab, but still are sinful in the sight of a holy, holy, holy God. This morning, as we think of vilest offenders who truly believe, to God be the glory. Because them, like us, are blinded before God saves us by the God of this age, whom the Son of Man came to seek and to save. The Son of Man came to seek blinded sinners like Zacchaeus and like Rahab and like us. Blinded sinners in places like Pleasanton, Kansas. Blinded sinners that need a Savior. And we see clearly that not a one of us this morning is a hopeless case. Not a one of your family members, not a one of your loved ones, not a one of your neighbors up and down the streets of this town and up and down the roads of this county are hopeless. Because Jesus, the Savior, is yet passing by. He passes by each Lord's Day morning as we stand in the pulpit of this church and preach the gospel. He passes by each and every day as we go out into this community and are salt and light and stand before others and speak of the good news of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus is seeking and saving sinners yet today. There's no hopeless case. Jesus passes through Jericho. Jesus passes through Pleasanton and Mound City. Jesus passes through Pioneer in Montpelier, Ohio, the little towns where Carol and I grew up. Jesus passes through Detroit, Michigan, the big city where our kids grew up. And Jesus comes to our homes. He comes to our houses. And salvation comes to our homes as God works. And Jesus passes by and he comes to our house and he saves us by his grace. And he saves our kids by his grace. And he does that work to his glory as he did with Zacchaeus. Jesus comes, for he alone is the source of our eternal salvation. He is the God of salvation. Oh, this morning that all would know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. For this is eternal life. Well, here's Zacchaeus, the wee guy, short in stature, and a far greater concern is that he's short on godliness. And all of us are. For without holiness, no one will see God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And none of us on our own, of our own doings, are pure in heart. We're all short, aren't we? For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Zacchaeus. This is in Jericho, a city on a major trade route, was one of three centers for collecting Israel's taxes. And doing this, Zacchaeus had become wealthy. He'd done well, as most tax collectors did, by defrauding and charging exorbitant amounts and keeping what they wanted for themselves and sending the rest on to Rome. As chief tax collector, he didn't even have to go out and collect the taxes anymore. He had his other guys bring it to him. He's sort of the middleman. As Ryken says, he's the middleman skimming off the customs revenue on its way to Rome. He was the kingpin of the Jericho tax cartel. Tax collectors were known as swindlers, as cheats, as traitors to their fellow Jews. And that's this short guy named Zacchaeus. Short on stature, short on godliness, short on popularity, obviously, as well. He's public enemy number one. Nobody likes him. Thus the crowd grumbles when Jesus says he's going to Zacchaeus' house. How could you, Jesus, go to a sinner's house like that? They're grumbling, just as the Pharisees were grumbling several chapters earlier in chapter 15 when Jesus was hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. Salvation's for sinners, lest we forget. And we forget where we've come from, or what Jesus has done for us in passing by and coming to our house. Jesus came to Zacchaeus, as he does to all sinners, to offer the fellowship of forgiveness. I'm going to your house. And I want to be in fellowship with you. I'm going to sit down at your table and eat with you and fellowship with you and sup with you. I want things to be made right between me and you. God does that through Jesus the Son. Christ is willing and he's able to save any one of us no matter what we have done. And so we meet Zacchaeus. He's curious about Jesus. He wants to see who he is. Even though he's a religious sort of outsider, he's an unlikely convert. He's filthy rich. And everyone looks down on him and would think he has no interest in the things of God. We need to remember that some of the folks you and I may think would have no interest in Jesus and the things of God may indeed be curious. They may be curious enough to run ahead of the crowd like Zacchaeus. And in a pretty undignified way, climb up into a tree just to get a glimpse at this one who perhaps he has heard was actually sympathetic to outcasts, to tax collectors and harlots like himself. And you and I need to be Jesus' ambassadors to the Zacchaeuses of Pleasanton. We need to engage in conversation with them. We need to invite them over to our homes. We need to invite them to church. They just might come. They just might come out of their sycamore trees and say, Yeah, I want to see something of this Jesus you talk about. Zacchaeus did. But what we discover is that Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. Yes, there's a sense of curiosity on Zacchaeus' part. He runs ahead, gets up in that tree to look down over the crowd to see him. But Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. And my friends, this morning, there are relatives of ours, there are neighbors of ours that Jesus wants to see. And you and I are Christ's ambassadors passing by. We don't know how long we may have here in Pleasanton, Kansas. God may call us out tomorrow. But today, Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. And today, we need to go to those around us with Jesus. It's a divine appointment that day in Jericho. And you see clearly the sovereignty of God in salvation. Jesus came to that sycamore tree, and he stopped there for Zacchaeus. And he called him by name. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today. He came to that tree. Jesus himself stopped for Zacchaeus, called him by name, invited himself over for dinner. Jesus comes even uninvited. He walks into our lives to save us as lost sinners. Because there's none that seek after God on their own. Yes, he had some curiosity, but he wasn't really seeking after God. But Jesus broke through because Jesus had intended to save this soul. And he comes uninvited. He walks into the life of Zacchaeus. The songwriter said, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering far from the fold of God. So J.C. Ryle put it, unasked, Jesus stops and speaks to Zacchaeus. Unasked, Jesus offers himself to be a guest in the house of a sinner. Unasked, Jesus sends into the heart of a publican the renewing grace of the Spirit and puts him that very day among the children of God. Wow. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace Zacchaeus was saved. He wasn't even, he didn't even call Jesus, save me. Oh, the grace of God in saving this sinner. He was calling, Jesus was calling Zacchaeus to faith, to repentance. And with that call came the grace for Zacchaeus to respond. The theological term for this is called effectual calling. Effectual calling. What is effectual calling? It's defined this way: the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. As Ryken says, in other words, when God calls a sinner by the Holy Spirit, he does everything inside us that needs to be done for us to be saved. He convinces us that we're sinners. He teaches us who Jesus is. He changes our minds and hearts so that we're ready to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Sooner or later, every child of God receives this effective call. Through the preaching of the message of salvation, Jesus stops us in the middle of life's busy road and calls us to faith and repentance. He enters our homes to change our hearts. Salvation is of the Lord from first to last. It is a work of God. Oh, the power of the matchless, wonderful grace of Jesus that reaches the most defiled. It is by its transforming power that we're made God's own children. It's a miracle. This is a miracle in Luke 19. Remember, just the chapter before, the other rich man, the rich young ruler, who went away sad, unwilling to forsake all to follow Christ. Like Zacchaeus, he was extremely rich. He had it all and he wanted to keep it all. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his soul? And that young man was willing to do that. He was sad as he turned away. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 18, 24 through 26. Jesus looked at that rich young ruler and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with man are possible with God." Possible with God. So now, chapter 19, another rich man and the camel. The camel is passing through the eye of the needle. That's what's happening here with Zacchaeus. A rich man is entering the kingdom. The camel is going through the eye of the needle. This is a miracle of God. This is possible because God is a God of all grace. Indeed, all things are possible with God. A covetous tax collector is transformed by grace. Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come to him. There is hope. There is hope. Only if you will repent and believe. And know that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Doctors and hospitals can declare that you have an incurable disease. That there's no hope for your case. But my friends, this morning, there is no hopeless, incurable cases for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for sin-sick souls. None. Any sinner may be healed. A broken and contrite spirit the Lord will not despise. He'll not cast any away who come to him as Zacchaeus did. Another Z name back in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, tells us never to despise the day of small things. Never despise the day of a wee little man. Never despise just a glimpse of hope that you may see in a relative of yours or in a neighbor of yours that has had no interest in the things of God, but all of a sudden he comes to church one Sunday morning. All of a sudden he seems to be climbing up in a sycamore tree to see something. Despise the day of small things. God can be at work in the midst of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your compassion. Thank you for your compassion to sinners like Zacchaeus and me. Thank you for your power to change lives like Zacchaeus' life and like my life. Thank you that salvation is not of works, but wholly of your grace. There was nothing in Zacchaeus that saved him. Nothing. It was the marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. It was grace greater than all his sin that saved him and it saves us. Christ receiveth sinful men who will come down from their trees and receive him gladly. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. And Zacchaeus did that. He hurried and came down and received him gladly. And that's what Jesus said, or that's what the scripture tells us in the Gospel of Luke, isn't it? The very first chapter. That Christ came to his own people, his own received him not. But to all who received him, like Zacchaeus received him, to them who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of the Spirit of God. When Zacchaeus hurried and came down, from that moment, his life was forever changed. He was a son of Abraham, not just because he had a Jewish name, Zacchaeus, but now a true son of Abraham, who like Abraham believed God, who trusted God. How do we know Zacchaeus was changed? There was evidence, wasn't there? He gave evidence. He produced fruit in keeping with repentance that John the Baptist had declared earlier. Produced fruit in keeping with repentance, and that's exactly what happens with Zacchaeus. You see, faith without works is dead. Works do not save. Zacchaeus was not saved because he gave half of all he had to the poor. He was not saved because he paid back four times as much of what he had defrauded people. No, he did this because, or as a result of, Jesus coming, of salvation coming to his house that day. And indeed, if any man would be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what we see in his life. And that's what you'll see in every life of someone that's converted. You see the decision in Zacchaeus' speech. I give, I restore. This is what I now do. He couldn't begin too soon. Has Christ called you? Has he sought you and saved you? Give proof that you're a believer. Follow Zacchaeus' example. Renounce your sins. Make use of the means of grace that you formerly neglected and had no use for. Meet with God's people. Hear the word of God. Worship with the people of God. Pray with the people of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness every day of your life and live for Christ. Let's put it this way. I quote, faith that does not purify the heart and life is not faith at all. Grace that cannot be seen like light and tasted like salt is not grace but hypocrisy. The man who professes to know Christ and trust him while he cleaves to sin and the world is going down to hell with a lie in his right hand. The heart that has really tasted the grace of Christ will instinctively hate sin. You know the grace of God. Repent as Zacchaeus did. Turn from your sin. Turn unto God. There will be an inward change in your mind, in your heart, and an outward change in your actions and how you live. Power and the grace to repent come through the cross where our Savior went on to from Jericho to die for Zacchaeus and all other covetous, thieving, vile sinners who will come to receive him, trusting in him for their salvation. It's through the power of the cross that sinners are rescued. Share this account in closing this morning. One of those sinners was saved through the work of Wycliffe Bible translators in Brazil, where a team of linguists had finished translating the book of Luke into the Mamiand language and started recording the soundtrack for the Jesus film. That's a film that has been produced that goes through the Gospel of Luke, word for word. And they began recording the soundtrack for that film. When it came time to record the section where Jesus called Zacchaeus, the only man available to read the part of Zacchaeus was someone who was known as a scoundrel, a man who was always looking for ways to profit at the expense of others. When this man recorded the part of the story where Zacchaeus repented for his sins, he could not bring himself to say the words, "I stole," but instead said, "He stole." When this was pointed out to him, he denied that he had made a mistake and refused to record his part again. Isn't that the difficulty that we all have? Hard for us to admit our sin, isn't it? Eventually, after much discussion, the man relented and agreed to record his part properly. When the recording was finished, the entire village crowded into the school to see the film. Every eye was glued to the screen for the entire 2 hours. Toward the end, when the film shows Jesus struggling under the heavy cross, showing the price he paid for our sins, the man who had read the part of Zacchaeus could be seen in the middle of the crowd with tears streaming down his face. The man's thieving heart was touched, and his life was transformed by the Savior who died for his very own sins. That's where we find the power. That's where we find the grace to repent. As we see the sacrifice that Jesus made for us at Calvary. Oh, the power of the cross. Christ Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray. Father, this morning, thank you for your abundant grace. Thank you for saving souls like me. Lord, I pray this morning for those that are here just sort of sitting up in their sycamore trees, looking down. A little curiosity about you. Father, you are the one that can draw them, and only you, to the Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you can save souls this morning. Even while we're seated here, some are seated here, Lord, and perhaps their mind has been elsewhere, part of the sermon, thinking other things. Father, bring it back right now to the fact that they, like Zacchaeus, are a sinner in need of a Savior. Guide them to see that they need to be willing to repent of their sin, to turn to you, Jesus, and to heed your call to hurry and come down and receive you gladly as their Lord and Savior this day. For today, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of your favor. Today, you would desire to come to their house. Thank you for the power of your cross and the finished work that you completed there for sinners like us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we